This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. We know that's what you crave. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is guest host Gino Effler. We're so glad to have him with us. Our regular co-host, Chris Teague, is out this week. We expect him to be back with us next week. We look forward to that. But Gino will fill in ably. He is the Director of Corporate Communications for J.D. Power. And thanks for being with us, Gino.
Jack, it is my sincere pleasure to be here with you, pinch hitting for America on the Road.
Well, I know you're a great hitter and a left-handed hitter at that, so I look forward to having that happen, and I know you'll be a great pinch hitter. And like I say, we look forward to having Chris back with us next week. Our special guest is Robin Morio. She is Senior Manager of Program Management at Nissan Motor Corporation. Robin Morio, she will give us the exciting details, and I think it's pretty exciting. You'd be surprised how exciting the Nissan Rogue compact SUV could be, but I really liked the vehicle when I test drove it recently. In the car review segment, we'll be taking a very in-depth look at the all-new 2021 Ram 1500 TRX. They call it the apex predator of trucks, the T-Rex, or TRX. Mm-hmm. I just had a chance to drive it a little earlier this week. I drove it both on and off-road. I drove it up an off-road course that if you looked at it, you would go, that's impossible. But it proved not to be impossible for the TRX with me at the wheel, with others at the wheel, too. It wasn't my special prowess, much more so the truck. And Gino will deliver his special J.D. Power data on Ram trucks to a company that that car review segment, so we look forward to that. That should be pretty interesting. Before we do that, though, here is some of the latest in automotive news from around the globe. And those of you who are watching TV a little earlier this week saw General Motors unveil its all-new Hummer EV Edition 1, and it's a big hit. A big hit in more ways than one. It's going to be built at GM's Factory Zero in Detroit and Hamtramck. It'll be the first electric addition to GM's lineup, to GMC's lineup, first fully electric. Certainly GM has been building some electric vehicles dating back to the EV1 back in the 1990s. Customers who wanted to could have placed reservations for Edition 1 on GMC.com, but I'm told they're sold out. I bet they will start taking orders again real soon, if not now. But I think starting production is long gone. The starting price, a mere $112,595. And it's powered by GM's Ultium batteries and Ultium Drive. So we look forward to that. What's your take on the overall possibilities of success for GMC in this Hummer EV edition, Gino?
I think it definitely has an opportunity for success. You know, there's a niche there. It's really small. You know, right now electric car sales are what, about 1.5% of the market in the U.S. And we obviously think that's going to grow. The experts at J.D. Power forecast that to increase. But you know, it's if there's a particular niche model with an electric capability that's going to suit the owners there, I think it has a chance. You know, it's what do we have? Like close to 100 new models, electric vehicle models coming, scheduled to come out in the next year, year and a half.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. And a lot of them are pickup trucks. I mean, there is like a bunch of cottage industries that are concentrating on putting together electric pickup trucks. I mean, something a little bit of a head scratcher to me, and maybe you have a different take on that, but it strikes me that pickup truck buyers are the absolute most conventional, conservative, don't want to change kind of buyer. And yet these advanced vehicles are going to come at us, you know, one right after the other, you know, right after this Hummer EV Edition 1.
But I also look back, Jack, and I think conversely, though, look at diesel vehicles. You know, diesel, it started to have a second wave, you might say, in the U.S. in the early 2000s. And and then it kind of lost its popularity. But diesel trucks were huge then, and they still are now, you know, in certain markets of the country. So I think as we see more and more technologies come into trucks, and we see trucks becoming more and more luxury trucks rather than just pedestrian baseline trucks, those truck buyers, they're doing more than just driving it across the you know, the dirt field and using it as a work vehicle. It's a work and a social or home
Right, and kind of
vehicle.
a reason, an image grabber, right? I mean, you
Yes.
kind of portray yourself with this thing. I think there is absolutely a niche place for, these high horsepower and high tech and really interesting EV pickup trucks. But I think it's going to be a niche. I don't think it's going to be,
Yes, it
hundreds of
is.
thousands of units. And what are there? There are like four or five. Companies now that are looking to enter that market, and that's their main product is an electric
Yep.
pickup truck. It's
And the reason
fascinating.
being is that that segment, the pickup truck segment, is still growing. The average transaction price of a pickup truck in America, whether it's a mid-size, full size, it's still increasing. And you know, people are happy to pay more
Yeah.
for a pickup truck.
We don't want to dwell and make this pickup truck centric, though. So let's talk a little bit about DiTomaso. You probably remember DiTomaso. I
Oh, the
certainly do.
Pantera,
Yeah, the
yes.
Pantera, and before that, the Mangusta.
Yes.
And it has a new supercar called the P72 that it, I think, launched or semi-launched a little over a year ago. Now it has announced that it is coming to America. And I don't just mean it's coming to America to sell cars, it's coming to America to build cars. And the next generation of the DiTomasos will be engineered and built in the USA. So
Wow.
that's kind of a big switch, I think.
A very big switch to totally unexpected from my perspective. I never would have ex you know thought that a small volume sports car manufacturer would decide to relocate to the United States to begin assembly.
Yeah, I mean, and especially from Italy, right? I
Yeah.
mean, Italy is absolutely the hotbed of that, has been, for what, 60, 80, 100 years,
And
really.
think
I
of
mean,
the
dating back to Ferrari and before.
right, and think of the supplier companies, you know, that feed Ferrari, Lamborghini, and all the rest. It's like, wouldn't that be the perfect place to have a small, you know, upscale performance car manufacturing spot?
Yeah.
Would be right there where all those supplier companies are based. You don't have to pay for the long range shipping of all those parts, and it's going to be
Yeah.
an interesting one to watch.
Absolutely. Well, it will be interesting, and we'll keep tabs on that. Di Tommaso Automobili coming to the United States, and they are actually negotiating with several individual states to set up a factory. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe they're looking, well, I mean, I think it has probably a ton of to do with it, is they're looking for
Yes.
some subsidies from governments here in the United States. So we'll see how that goes. So that's it for the news segment. And when we come back, we will be road testing the apex predator of trucks, the Ram 1500 TRX. First road test of that coming up next. So stay with us with Gino Effler. This is Jack Nerad with you, and thanks so much for being with us on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you, along with guest host Gino Effler. We thank him so much for being with us. Really good to have Gino along for the ride here. And it is road test time. We're really excited about this road test because I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to drive the all-new 2021 Ram 1500 TRX on and off-road in amazing courses in California and Nevada over the course of a couple days, a little earlier this week. So this is a fresh report for you. And the truck, frankly, is, I don't want to, just give away everything that I'm telling in the review, but the truck's pretty amazing in a lot of ways. And I'll tell you some of the ways it is amazing that you probably wouldn't guess. But let me give you a little bit of the tail of the tape on this thing. It's, number one, it's 702 horsepower and 650 pound-feet of torque. That's what's going out of the 6.2-liter supercharged Hemi V8 engine. So that's at the base of it. That's at the heart of it. That allows it to jet from 0 to 60 miles an hour in 4.5 seconds. It is said to do 0 to 100 in 10.5 seconds. It actually has launch control, you know, like a...
It sounds like you're describing a race car.
Yeah, like a Mustang. It's kind of crazy that way. What's also interesting, Gino, is the top speed, you wouldn't guess. And it's because it's 118 miles an hour. Now, that doesn't seem all... I probably went more than 118 miles an hour in my my dad's 1966 Chevy Caprice. Truth to tell, when I was about 17 years old. I think part of it is because it's geared and limited that way. And part of it is because you're talking not a brick through the air, but a concrete block. I mean, this thing
That's
is
amazing.
Huge. But I think it would go a lot faster if it weren't limited. And I think part of the limitations has to do with the capabilities of the tires. The goal of this truck really is to be very fast off-road, not very fast on-road. Mm. And so the tires are specifically developed for that. And it gets that done. It absolutely does. We were on an off-road racetrack, if that isn't too much of a contradiction in terms, but it exists there near Reno, Nevada, and had a blast going really fast and also climbing up hills, rock-strewn hills, the likes you just kind of couldn't imagine. But crazy, crazy stuff. But what was most interesting to me about driving this vehicle was not what it could do off-road and not what it could do performance-wise, but how good it is as a daily driver. I mean, I could see using this vehicle as just my normal car, and it does all those. It doesn't beat you up the way you think a truck. This thing has 13 inches of suspension travel, for example.
Wow.
I mean, that's an amazing amount of suspension travel. It has newly engineered front and rear suspensions, uses a massive Dana solid rear axle. It has Bilstein Blackhawk adaptive performance shocks. The shocks on this thing are just amazing. I mean, they're probably worth an episode of America on the Road just to talk about the shocks on this thing. It's just...
But when you're sitting there in the cockpit, you know, behind the steering wheel, do you feel like you're in a truck, or is it so...
You really don't. I mean, it is comfortable. I mean, you feel like maybe you're in a Ram 1500 truck, which is one of the most comfortable trucks out there, but one of the most comfortable vehicles out there, for that matter. But generally, like I say, this does not beat you up. It could easily be used as an everyday driver. The thing that might stand in that way is the fuel economy, which was just recently released, and it is low.
hey, if I'm paying more than $90,000 for a truck, maybe I'm not going to be so concerned about the fuel economy. But what is it, Jack?
And I think it's around 12 miles per gallon combined. I don't have it right in front of me. Like I say, it was just released today. But I remember it to be on that order. The other thing is, this has a really, really pleasant interior. And you can option it up to where it goes from pleasant to luxurious in steps. As you add cost to it. Mm-hmm. But just so much to like about this vehicle, because it is a very functional pickup truck. You can use it for all pickup truck duties and then have this 702 horsepower and the bragging rights of everything else, because it has driver modes, for example, that enable you to tailor it for different kinds of driving, say Baja desert driving or rock crawling or snow and ice, all of those things. It has all the requisite safety equipment. It's just one massive chunk of technology. At the same time, I think there's a lot of value there. I really do for the person who wants a truck to have ultimate bragging rights, you know, outside the roadhouse mm-hmm. there. I think, you know, this is certainly the vehicle for that.
Well, you know, Ram certainly has some bragging rights in its own right recently. You and I have talked before about, well, where do they fall into some of the J.D. Power studies? And, you know, what's the history like with Ram 1500? And I can tell you that in the automotive performance execution and layout study that we do, that commonly referred to as the J.D. Power appeal study, which measures what consumers really like about their vehicles, the Ram 1500 is the highest ranked large light duty pickup over the GMC Sierra and the Ford F-150. So do Ram owners really love this truck and its previous iterations or current iterations? Absolutely. And so when they see the TRX, I can see them definitely gravitating to that vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Ram 1500 myself. We just borrowed one fairly recently to move my daughter up into college. It was the perfect vehicle for that. It's a supremely comfortable vehicle. At the same time, it does everything you'd want a pickup truck to do. And in a lot of ways, the TRX is that only more so. Only more so in every way. And I think if you really wanted to do some desert or sand driving, this would just be such a colossally good vehicle for that. And enable you to have so much fun with it. The other thing I thought was really interesting about the way they let us test, I mean, frequently we'll go out on a test and we'll drive some vehicles on the street, and then they'll have special vehicles for us to drive on off-road courses and that kind of thing. And I mm-hmm. think largely it's so we don't beat up the vehicles and so we have a vehicle to get back to the hotel in and things like that. But in this particular instance, for some of the tests, we did many of the tests in the vehicle that we drove out from the hotel in and then drove back to the hotel in. So, you know, that to me exhibits a lot of confidence in the various vehicles. And so I did some pretty serious off-roading, and then I drove back on I-80 to the hotel in the same vehicle and experiencing.
Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah, that's a good way to launch a car, you know, to let you drive the same vehicle, not the same type of vehicle, but the same vehicle on both surfaces. That's very impressive that they did that.
And in talking to their folks, I think they believe a lot of people will use that as their use the TRX as their primary vehicle. So it's a vehicle I like a lot. Anything else you have to share about Ram 1500 from J.D. Power studies, or should we?
Yeah, the other key study that we we often talk about is the vehicle dependability study. That's where we measure a vehicle's dependability over 36 months, basically 3 years. And in this year's study, looking at the Ram 1500 of 3 years ago, in the last 3 years, in that same segment, the large light duty pickup, the highest ranked trucks were the Ford F-150 and the Toyota Tundra in a tie, but coming in third was the Ram 1500. So it's performed extremely well. Its owners are very happy with its dependability over 3 years, and they clearly, with the result in the appeal study, the owners of the Ram 1500 really like what they're getting in that vehicle.
Yeah, very cool. Well, I can totally understand it. And like I say, we really love the TRX during our first drive. I hope to have it for a more extended period, but I did drive it, you know, hundreds of miles and over all kinds of terrain. Didn't get into any snow, but pretty much everything else. So a vehicle that eagerly anticipated and I kind of lives up to every expectation. So liked it a lot. And when we come back, we will be taking a listener question or two. We always enjoy that. So stay with us with Gino Effler. This is Jack Nerad with you on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Gino Effler, who is co-hosting with us this week. This is Jack Nerad back with you. And thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate you joining us on America on the Road. It is listener question time. This is a portion of the show we really like because we get to help people, and that's really why we're here in the first place, is to help people understand the car business and all of that. I think that's kind of what J.D. Power does as well, right, Gino?
It is indeed, Jack. We are the voice of the customer, as we often like to say. You know, the Dave Power, when he started this company, it was all about finding ways to help companies improve their customer satisfaction. In other words, listen to the customers to find out what's important to them and what's going to get them to buy the product or service or come back and buy the product or service. And quite often what a customer thinks is important, the manufacturer or the provider of that service or product, oh, gee, that's not very important to them, or it's not on, you know, they don't match on the priority list. So the idea is to help convey to companies what their customers really want, what they really like. And it's helped drive, I think, a lot of improvement in automotive, the automotive industry, for more than 50 years. And it's expanded into several other industries, from banking, financing, utilities, insurance, healthcare, credit cards, you name it. But automotive is still the main emphasis of J.D. Power.
Yeah, well, very cool. And I was lucky enough to work for Dave back in the day. It was a long time ago now. It's, you know, close to three decades ago. But I had that opportunity for several years to work at J.D. Power, and it was fascinating. And, you know, I built a career, a kind of a long career after that. And it's interesting that you, as a good friend of mine, have gone there and spending a lot of time there over the course of the last several years. And you've been there quite a while now. Now, I have a question that kind of concerns J.D. Power as well. A listener has written in and says, J.D. Power has a lot of studies. As a car buyer, which study or studies should I pay the most attention to?
Very good question. I would say there's probably four studies that would be most attentive for, or most important for an attentive car shopper to pay attention to. One is the iconic, the most well-known study that comes from J.D. Power, the initial quality study. And that measures the quality within the first 90 days, or the problems that car owners experience in the first 90 days of ownership. That's one study. The second is, I referenced it before, the vehicle dependability study, which is over the course of the first 3 years of ownership. How dependable was this car? How many problems did I have over the course of those 3 years? That's important, because most people are going to own a car or lease a car for 3 years. So, you know, besides the first few weeks, is this car going to be dependable? Will it be problem-free, or how problem-free will it be?
Right.
Another key study is the appeal study, that basically measures the things you like about your car, ranging from the performance to the layout, the design of it, things that, you know, we ask the questions in a way that, okay, you've told us the things you had problems with. What is it you really like about it? Do you like this? Do you like that?
I think it kind of gauges customer enthusiasm for their car, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to give you an example, this year, they weren't included in the official rankings, but they were included in the study for the first time, and that was Tesla. Tesla ranked lowest in the initial quality study, having more problems cited by their owners than any other manufacturer. Yet in the appeal study, Tesla ranked highest. Tesla owners were thrilled with what they got with their Tesla, the technology, you know, the instant torque, the look, so many other things that they like. So it's a fascinating bit of information that a shopper should look at those studies to determine, you know, which way they want to go. The only other study I think they should pay close attention to would be the Tech Experience Index study, TXI. And this relates to new technologies on vehicles and how buyers are interacting with those technologies. Do they like them? Are they working properly? They always work properly. The problem is, are they intuitive enough? Can they be operated properly by owners? And we find quite often that either owners don't know they have a certain technology on their car, or they've never used the technology, or they tried to use it and it was difficult to use. Really fascinating stuff that is important to not only the manufacturers, but to a car shopper. I definitely would want to look at how a brand is performing in that TXI study, and how brands, or more specific, some models perform in the appeal study or IQS. And a good place where they can see this all come to fruition, you might say, Jack, is at jdpower.com, which is our car shopping site. And we actually have scores for these cars based on a 100-point scale that take into account how these brands and models performed collectively in all of these key studies, the ones I just mentioned, along with the customer service index study, which is basically how you interacted with the service element at the dealership, getting your car serviced. But that's post-purchase. But that's a good resource to go to. But the simple answer is pay attention to IQS, the initial quality study, the appeal study, the vehicle dependability study, and TXI. Yep, tech experience.
Well, that's a very good answer. We appreciate your insight. Nobody would be more insightful than you about that. And that's our listener question for this week. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back with an exciting all-new Nissan Rogue, their best-selling vehicle. So stay with us for that. And we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nierad with you, and we are so pleased to meet in person somebody we have interviewed on the show before. Robin Morio is the Senior Manager of Product Planning for Nissan North America. Thanks so much for being with us and hosting this thing as well.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming. We're really excited.
And we're excited because we're driving the new Nissan Rogue, a very, very important vehicle for Nissan. Tell us how important it is.
Well, it's our number one model for North America. We've sold over 2 million of these units, and their UIO is very high. So it's our number one product.
So units in operation, I think, is what you're
talking about. Units in operations.
Yeah.
A little bit of R&D engineering in there, sorry.
Right.
But yeah, it's our number one product. We've put a lot of investment into this program globally, and it's our first launch of our new Nissan, new badge, everything.
So. Right. So a lot going on with this in probably the most popular segment in the American market, the compact crossover sport utility market.
Yeah. Minus full-size trucks.
Yeah, exactly.
They're in a league of their own.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily passenger vehicles. When you talk about passenger vehicles, these have to be number one, I would say.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So tell us about this vehicle. I just had the chance to drive it at some length, really impressed all the way around. Very, very impressed with this vehicle, and I drive a lot of crossovers, that's for certain. Tell us where you were aiming this one.
We were trying to go to the best of the best. There's three main things on this car that you just have to remember. Safety, safety, and safety. Everything we did about the car, the technologies that we've added, the driving dynamics, was all to make sure that the customers and the driver and the passengers inside are as safe as we can make them. So if it's targeting 5-star NCAP with the new body structure that we have, the all-new platform that we're using, or if it's utilizing, a rear multi-link suspension as opposed to a trailing arm, give you that confidence in driving, and also kind of make it fun. And she looks good, too.
Right. Absolutely. A very, very good-looking vehicle. But I think this, in a lot of ways, it seems like this Rogue is much more mature than the previous one, and also kind of family oriented a little more so than the previous version.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole new Nissan, and it's this is one of our our leading for sales. So we're trying to show that we can do more than just the Nissan of old. So yes, we're going upscale a little bit, we're trying to show we have an all-new Platinum grade. And with that, we're bringing all the refined touches that you find in the Nissan Maxima, the Nissan Murano, we're bringing them down to Rogue. So, yes, we're trying to go upscale, more mature, but it is a family hub. You can be able to easily pass things to the back. We're making sure that the second row is just as safe as the first. We're doing all of these things to try to make it an intuitive drive, a fun drive, and overall just a family-friendly vehicle.
Yeah, it strikes me a lot of compact sport utilities over time have been for single people, right, or maybe young families. But to me, the new Rogue seems even more family-oriented than that. Was that conscious, or am I imagining things, or is that actually true?
No, I think it's true this time. I mean, and, you know, we sell this to an entirely wide, diverse demographic.
Right.
So, yes, families are in mind, but the single person can drive this. The, you know, empty nesters can drive this, no problem. So it's easy to get in and out of. The second row doors open almost 90 degrees. That's really great for ingress egress, but it's also for families. Airbags in the second row now. Pretensioners, load limiters, seat belts for the second row. This is, you know, industry first, segment first for us.
Right. And a lot of ways to attach child safety seats in the second row. A lot of thinking went into that.
It's yes. There is a lot of like little bits and pieces about the second row that make it so grand. First of all, you get to do a second row that is, you can put a child seat in any of the three positions. So you can latch center seat in a rear-facing, you know, infant seat. When the driver can have his seat all the way back if he wishes. So we made all those conscious decisions on how to make the family fully comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about safety a little more directly, okay? I mean, it kind of starts with, array of safety equipment that is standard on every Rogue. Talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so safety is what we call our concept realizer for this vehicle. And we made Safety Shield 360 standard on every grade. And that's six very unique safety technologies, active safety technologies, that allow the consumer to have more confidence and safety tech in their car. First is high beam assist. So it automatically turns on your high beams. Then you have rear cross traffic alert, and it will actually notify you audibly and visually if there's something coming from either direction while you're reversing. And then if you're in reverse, it'll actually brake if it detects an object. And then we have blind spot warning. And we moved the blind spot indicator from the A-pillar out to the mirror where we actually look in order to see if that's where it's going to, if there's going to be a vehicle there. And then it'll, lane departure warning is the last one. And lane departure warning will give you a haptic steering feedback. So it's nice and quiet. No one knows. Like, my kids always like to make fun of me when they hear the beep, beep, beep.
Right.
From the lane departure warning of today.
Tell our listeners what haptic is.
Haptic steering.
Because they might not.
So the steering wheel will give you a little judder and let you know if the...
Yeah, something's off.
Something's off.
Yeah, right.
Fix that.
Yeah, do something about that. Let's talk. And then there's more safety beyond that, right? There's more safety equipment available, more electronic driver aids available.
Yes. So there's, you know, of the passive safety, you know, all the airbags, the pretensioners with the seatbelts. But then there's the active safety, like Nissan Safety Shield 360. But then there's the whole new platform that we're targeting, 5-star NCAP, IIHS, TSP, Top Safety Pick Plus. So, I mean, we're targeting all of these, you know, third-party accolades as well. And then, you know, there's the intuitive part of safety. If the vehicle is easier to drive or easier to get, you know, to the cargo or whatever, then the driver is not distracted. So then there's the technologies that we have on our upper trims, such as heads-up display. You have a full TFT, thin film something, filmed
right.
Meter in the front, underneath the front meter. And I mean, it's giving you all of this feedback and all of this data to make your driving fun but easy.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, it goes so far, I think, in one of the upper-level trims, and it might be an optional piece, where the navigation also informs the vehicle about cornering and enables that.
So that's more of a convenience feature. We call it ProPilot Assist. Mm-hmm. And new for 2021 Rogue is ProPilot Assist with NaviLink. So when you do have navigation on the vehicle, it actually predicts the G-force at the speed you're going of a curve that's up ahead. So it'll actually slow your vehicle down so it'll be able to center in the lane, and it's not going to be uncomfortable for you.
Right. And it's not obtrusively going to slow you down.
No.
If you need to slow down, it'll it'll help you do that.
That is correct.
And I think it'll help you around corners in other areas as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And clover leaves. And
clover leaves. You can do interchanges now and exits. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of that. Let's talk a bit about storage. I mean, certainly it's something that when you buy something like a sport utility, you probably, you have that active lifestyle. Nobody is, none of those people have any kind of static, you know,
no.
lifestyle. They're all active. Tell us a bit about that stuff.
So yeah, so it's still a CUV. So people still want to store their stuff or want to be able to haul around stuff. And, you know, Rogue still answers all of those requests and those needs. We've updated the class exclusive divide and hide system, made it a lot more intuitive. We took out the tethers and we added these actual tracks. So it's a very easy one-handed operation to move all those divide and hide boards now. Additionally, what we've done is we've taken the back door and we've squared it off. So it's no longer like this trapezoid. It's more almost square-like. So you're really able to get a lot of, utilize all the space that's in the back. And we haven't made it any bigger, but we've just utilized the space better.
Right. And you make it so milk cartons and milk containers don't
yes.
explode in the back. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. A very, very pregnant Robin Morio about 15 years ago. She really wanted some milk. And the milk went in the back of her FX, and that FX took a turn a little too fast, and the milk went everywhere. And yeah. I was crying over that spilled milk. And that stuck
and
with me.
Probably for a while, right? I mean, and it probably stuck with the vehicle for quite a while.
It
too.
Did.
Yeah.
Bless it.
I don't know what you do about that. Exactly.
So it stuck with me all these years, and then when we were discussing how should we do the back of the cargo area in the 2021 Nissan Rogue, I was like, there needs to be some place for milk.
Right, and you found it. Let's talk about infotainment and those kind of things. That's something that you know people really care about. What's the situation there?
Well, Nissan now has what we Apple CarPlay and Android Auto is standard. It's a on all vehicles, on all the Nissan Rogues. And that really allows a really seamless connection to your cell phone. However, you know, you can still have Sirius radio available. It's also standard. And then when you go up a little bit, you can get wireless Apple CarPlay. So you don't even have to take your phone out of your purse or your pocket. And it will just connect automatically. And then we also have wireless charging. But in addition, we have an over-the-air update system. So if we ever do need to update the system for something, we can do it seamlessly in the background because we added a telematic control unit to the vehicle as well. And that allows actually allow us to have Nissan Connect and Nissan Concierge available to the consumer. You can get door-to-door navigation. You can plan a wedding. So you need all these things right. You can do with now we have all of these new infotainment.
Right. You can't get the minister, though, over the...
No. Maybe you can find a Jesuit there.
Yeah, possibly. It could happen. Could happen. Powertrain. Let's talk a bit about that. I mean, in some ways, it seems like powertrain is getting less and less important. Because all powertrains are pretty good these days, but you have a new engine drivetrain for this vehicle.
We do. We've actually taken our 2.5-liter four-cylinder naturally aspirated engine, and we've updated it with a ton of new technologies. And by doing that, we kept it easy on the consumer. We chose not to, at this time, invest in a downsized turbo or a hybrid or anything. So we're just trying to keep, you know, mainstream CSUV segments happy with what they're going to be able to drive. And we've updated the horsepower and the torque. They're 181 each. And it's giving a really great fuel economy on a not a lot of technology kind of powertrain.
What was the horsepower before?
I don't remember.
Less
it stumped
than that.
Me.
Less than 181.
Yes.
Certainly less than that.
I should know that. 170.
170. So that's a pretty significant gain. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know the torque figure?
175.
Okay. So gains in both.
Gains in both, yes.
In both areas. And maybe more tech to come. It also has a continuously variable transmission.
It does.
Which, for people in the industry, there's a little bit of controversy over it, perhaps. I think for anybody who drives this vehicle and is a likely target of this vehicle, it's a non-issue or a plus. Talk a bit about that.
So CVTs in general are best utilized in non-performance kind of situations, right? It's for fuel economy. We can tune CVTs, especially at Nissan, to be able to give you the feeling of a step transmission. However, we're going to be able to give you the benefit of really great fuel economy and really great acceleration and performance at the same time. So CVTs might not be the love of the car enthusiasts, right. And I understand this, but the CSUV segment, they're looking for reliability. They're looking for those driving dynamics that make them feel safe and comfortable, and CVT delivers.
Yeah, absolutely, on all of those counts. Explain to me, though, and the philosophy or the thinking behind simulating a geared transmission where you have pauses. So one would think that's less pleasing a situation than just the seamless application of power over the rev band. Talk a bit about that.
So at Nissan, we call that the D-step. I don't know why. And what we do is, by tuning it in different situations about how much you're actually depressing on the gas pedal, we can give more acceleration at that time. So we do need those higher RPMs. So we do need that CVT to act more like a step transmission in that scene. However, if we are gently going up to speed or gently decelerating, that's when the CVT allows that linear translation or transition down to a right. lower RPM.
And you even have shift paddles as if you're shifting gears.
Yes.
You know, at least in some levels, I was in a platinum version, I guess.
It's a standard, so, yeah. standard as well.
Yeah, so for it was kind of fun to use, but and over time, you do it, and then maybe you never do it again.
you see a cop on the corner.
Yeah.
Downshift.
Yeah, downshift. Let's talk, though, about driving modes. And I had a big opportunity to use the various driving modes. Tell us, number one, about the driving modes, and then get specific about what each one does.
Sure. So we have three different drive modes. You know, your normal, then we have what we call sport, and then eco. And all that does is it changes the throttle input. So how deeply you push on the gas, on the accelerator pedal, and how much actual response you're going to get from the vehicle. And then we have two more terrain modes. Were you driving an all-wheel drive?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So in terrain mode, you have snow mode and then off-road mode. And those will allow you to those will actually activate the all-wheel drive system and change how the braking works and how much slip the actual vehicle will start to see from the wheels before it starts to activate and engage the all-wheel drive system.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things about the new Rogue that you think are either breakthrough or big competitive advantages for you?
I think the biggest part for the Nissan Rogue is the driving dynamics and getting that secure and safe feeling when you're driving it, being able to react to an object on the freeway or braking in certain, you know, difficult situations. But you're also putting it in this beautiful package. It's gorgeous. And then it's really fun to drive. And you can feel confident that you're driving it and that you're not going to lose your sense of self because it's a very beautiful vehicle. But then your kids, in the back, are just going to be just as, you know, comfortable and secure and safe
and secure.
As you are.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about the exterior styling, which we haven't. And it is a good-looking vehicle, and it is a kind of a premium-looking vehicle as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've definitely changed a lot from the current generation of Rogue. This massive front volume, if you compare a 20 model year to a 21 model year, night and day difference. And really trying to give it an aggressive kind of look. So if you're looking at this vehicle, you won't be so, you know, it gives you a sense of self, but it's also going to be a little bit more aggressive. Maybe that person's not going to pull out in front of you. Like, it's going to give you that confidence.
Right. Not quite as cute in a way, more, like you say, more presence.
More presence, yeah. More athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and specific features up front, for example.
Oh, well, we have this dual, like the split headlamp, we like to call it, with the signature light. All the LED lamps are completely standard, both headlamps and tail lamps. This U shape along the doors really gives it that crispness. And then the floating roof that we can actually do a two-tone. You can have a black group if you wish on, you know, our new Boulder gray, for example.
Yeah. Different colors this time around? What's
now the roof can only be, you can get a two-tone with a black roof.
With a black roof, but I mean just exterior colors.
We have a new orange, so we are no longer using Monarch orange, that bright, bright orange. We're actually toning it down a touch.
Okay.
We're using the Sonoma.
How many people buy orange cars these days?
Actually, the take rate on orange is actually higher than you'd think.
Yeah, if it's more than one, it's higher than I think. Yeah.
It's about 5%.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's a little bit more muted orange.
It's a little bit more muted, trying to go, you know, more on the styling that we actually are, you know, presenting here. But then we also have, you know, a really rugged, what we call bolder gray. It's more of a kind of a flat, solid kind of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Pricing, I think, on this vehicle is very, very aggressive, as we say in the industry, which means, you know, good bargain value. Talk a bit about that.
We have some tough competition in this segment, and we acknowledge it, really. So our pricing is coming in based on how we are currently with the 20 model year Rogue. You know, it's still our Nissan customer. We're not trying to abandon them. So we're trying to give them an evolutionary vehicle for not much MSRP increase. So we started a reasonable $25,000, and we top out an all-wheel drive Platinum at just over $36,000. So, and you can get whatever you wish in between, but that $25,000 Rogue comes with standard Safety Shield 360. I mean, it comes with all of these great technologies and all the standard safety equipment. You're still going to get a great value, and we're going to be able to do that over the competition as well.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that this new Rogue has that is either super expensive in the logical competitors or is not even available in the competitors.
Right, with like heads-up display, or if it's wireless Apple CarPlay. I mean, these types of things are industry-leading, if you will, and we're bringing them into a vehicle that is not a luxury car. Rogue is still a mainstream CSUV, but we're putting it in this really premium package so that you can be proud to drive it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think because of that, and maybe because of my age too, I think it's going to be a major success with empty nesters.
Actually, yes, we do have what we call a bimodal, you know, demographic. There's the young generation Y who's buying it with right. their young families, but then there's also, you know, Gen Y's parents. It's the grandparents, if you will, because it's still easy to drive. It's easy to get in and out of. There's very intuitive. And these are things that families want, but just drivers in general as well. But you're right.
When will it come to market? When can our listeners see the new Rogue in their yep. Nissan showroom?
So Nissan showroom, you'll get it at the end of October.
Okay. Well, sounds terrific. Anything else you'd like to add that I should have asked but have not?
I think the overall arching message from Nissan on this is, you know, we put a lot of work, a lot of effort, and this Rogue is the next Nissan Next. You know, we're trying to move forward, move the needle from Nissan. You know, we're trying to change who we are as a company. And this program or this vehicle is our, you know, flagship of, you know, the trying to do this. And we're really doing, no holds are barred. Like, we're all in on this one. And we really want, if you're interested in a CSUV, please give us a try.
Yeah.
We want to be part of your market, part of your shopping basket. We just give us a try because we're going to blow you away.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reports from my colleagues in the press will be very favorable on this vehicle. So that's my prediction. So Robin Morio, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Nissan, we appreciate it. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. And that was our interview with Robin Morio of Nissan, talking about the Nissan Rogue, all new for 2021. Really important vehicle for that brand, so we appreciate her insights into that. And speaking of insights, we had Gino Effler, who is the Director of Corporate Communications at J.D. Power, with us as our co-host this week. Thanks so much for being with us, Gino. We really do appreciate you pinch hitting here.
Jack, it's my pleasure, and you know, you can always call me off the bench and step into that batter's box for you whenever America on the Road needs me.
Well, I've seen you do it. I've seen you hit that line drive. You did it again today, and I really do appreciate it. So I know our listeners appreciate it as well. And before we go, I'd like to remind you, if you like what you hear on the show, please give us a nice rating wherever you listen to this podcast. We would appreciate that. And I'd also appreciate it if you check out my book, The GR Factor, Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule. It kind of sums up my history of management and dealing with people through the years, and I think it might help you out. That's why I wrote it, and so look for that at Amazon and all the other booksellers, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, etc. It's out there, The GR Factor by Jack R. Nierat. And thanks so much for being with us on America on the Road. We do appreciate it, and join us again next time right here on America on the Road.